so, when you get to be the person who brings a message only once a month, then you stack up a whole bunch of things that you would like to be able to say. And on this particular Sunday, I was overwhelmed by the thought of the Olympics and the Korean people who are reaching out, I think, in a great sense of trying to be peaceful, trying to have open and loving hearts. And it reminded me back of the years when I was in seminary, and I broke my ankle, and I lived in this house, and I needed somebody to help me, and I had been tutoring a group of Korean students in English and how to write their papers. And they became really the most wonderful, loving, kind, gentle friends. And they would come and bring me food and help me to get in and out of my house. And one day after we had had a big test, one of them, a very small, slight man, came and decided that he would take me on a walk in my wheelchair, that it was time for me to get to go outside to the park. And really, he struggled so, because if you've ever been to San Anselmo, it's like this. And yet he put his whole heart into bringing me the freshness of God and a wonderful conversation. And so my mother and I made these stoles, and they say peace, hope, and love on them in Korean. And we made one for each of the students who were my classmates that I had been helping, and one for me. And I saw it just this week, and I thought, I really need to wear this, because I too wish for there to be peace, hope, and love. And I hope that some of their joyfulness about the love of Jesus Christ, they will take back to their countries. And this was 25 years ago, and I hope that they have had an opportunity to spread that love to so many people. And so as I wore this stole today, I just was touched by the thought of that beautiful round face, those tiny, slender hands that lifted me and carried me and helped me along my way. Well, you know, we had a conversation, Father Ken and I, about the first scripture from Kings. And I said, they don't know the end of the story. What the heck with this scripture? You know, that it would end with Elisha going off in a whirlwind on a chariot and Elisha just there ripping his robe. And all he had asked for was to be like Elisha, that he would have a double portion of that kind of wonderful leadership and love and graciousness to reach out to God. But if you read the rest of the story, what you find out is that he wants a sign to see, is that happening to me? Can I be a leader? Can I be a leader like Elijah? And after he rips his own robe, he looks around and he sees the one that Elijah had dropped beside the water before he was taken off in the chariot. And so he picks it up and all rolled up, and he smacks the water with it, and the water parts, and he too can walk through the water. That was the end of the story. That's what we need to know, that the praise and the hope and the hoping to be like Elijah, because he was a symbol of God, a symbol of graciousness, a prophet for the future. Now that story had been passed down over the centuries until, I am sure, Peter and James and John knew that story too. They knew who Elijah was. They knew who Moses was. These were holy men in their religion. But they weren't quite sure about Jesus. You know, he was a great guy who was just telling the most wonderful stories. He was reaching out and touching people and healing them, and he had become a wonderful friend. He had become such a wonderful friend to Peter that Peter always wanted to do something for him. What could I do for you? How could I help you? How could I reach out and make your life better? And quite often running ahead when he should have been, what, staying behind and following and not trying to lead. And here was this day. Here was this incredible day where Jesus says, Peter, James, John, let's go up on the mountain. Just us. We're just going to walk up on the mountain and have an opportunity to see all of God's kingdom. That we will have an opportunity to just sit in the warm, sunny day and visit with one another and talk about what we've been doing and where we're going and what's happening. And you know, Jesus was just kind of a regular guy, except he could do incredible things. And so who exactly they was, they weren't quite sure. But they knew who Moses and Elijah were. And so they went up on the mountain with Jesus, and I can just imagine them visiting and talking and laughing as they went on, because that's who my Jesus is. My Jesus is a friend that you go places with, that you laugh with and you talk to and you cry with, and he's right there, and you want to do something for Jesus, like reach out your hands and take care of the people around you or whatever God would want you to do. And so I can just imagine that Jesus in just ordinary clothes. And then he goes up on the mountain and there's Moses and Elijah. And Jesus turns into a whole white, incredible figure. And Peter just doesn't know what to say. And so he says, well, I will build a house for each one of you. Because his idea, which was a great and fantastic idea, was, I want you to stay right here, where I can access you all of the time, where I can be with you. I want to be able to come up the mountain and just have you be here in your houses. Just like Elisha, she didn't want Elijah to go away. He wanted him to be a part of him. He wanted him to nourish him forever. And yet he was taken off in a whirlwind. And now this incredible thing happens to Jesus. Who is this Jesus? And then the voice comes. And this voice says, this is my son, my beloved. Listen to him. And Jesus just turns back to his normal self. And Elijah and Moses are gone. And can you imagine what that must have been like? To just turn around and have everything be ordinary? It's almost like you had this incredible dream. And wouldn't you just like to then just stay there? Stay there in the presence of that holy space, knowing that God had spoken right there, that God had told you now who Jesus was and is. And they can hardly wait to tell their friends. They can hardly wait to get down in the valley and tell what happened. But as they come down the valley with their friend Jesus, who now has a whole new meaning to them, he says to them, do not tell. Do not tell anybody until later in the story. Imagine being a part of that Jesus and his life. Imagine being a part of this person who God declares as his beloved son. Just imagine, and then know that you are a part of all of that. That you are a part of Jesus' life. That you are the hands, the feet, the heart that God created to follow Jesus wherever he needed you to go. That you are a part of Peter and James and John and all of the disciples who took the word out into the world. The most wonderful thing for us is we know the end of the stories that they didn't know. And yet we do not know the end of the stories that we have coming for us. What we know is that we are tasked, just like the disciples, to carry the word to all of the people in the world. We need to pray with our whole hearts that what happens in the Olympics, the love and the caring that is shown on TV is real, that people have an opportunity to have a sense of that kind of overwhelming sense of loving and caring for everyone around the world. We need to have images in our mind of a Jesus more bright and shining and magnificent than you can even imagine. More magnificent than you can even imagine. And carry that image with us so that when we tell the story, our faces are warm, our hearts are happy, our hands are outreaching, and we too can help to make a difference in the lives of the people around us. May we go from here this day just knowing that Jesus is our Lord and Savior, and that the voice of God speaks quietly in each of our hearts. Amen.
Amen.